This week on The Droids, we talk Harrison Ford, talking Star Wars, we talk about the box office, and we got details on the Blu-ray for The Rise of Skywalker. It's me and Chris on The Droids.
Bubble.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, I am Sam. Sadly, Ryan fell down a Sarlacc pit, and Mike is off exploring. He's looking for the archives, the Imperial archives on Scarif.
He does have a Sith Wayfinder.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah,
I saw him grab one of those. And Ryan, we'll look for you in The Mandalorian Season 2, because you're at the bottom of that Sarlacc pit. I bet Season 2 we're going to get some Sarlacc action. They'd be dumb not to, right?
Some Sarlaction?
Some Sarlaction.
Some Sarlaction. Great. Chris, what have you been up to, man? We haven't, hey. I feel like you and I have not crossed paths or blades.
Yeah. The Bouncy Boys here again.
Everybody's favorite combo.
Yeah, you know, I've been traveling the galaxy, just kind of researching Star Wars during my travels, watching a lot of the Clone Wars, getting ready for the release of season 7. Yeah, season 7.
Yeah, what are we? Like, we're like a week out, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. We'll have some good news on that. Boysies. I think Disney Plus put out a cool little playlist of, like, greatest hits of Clone Wars, which I thought was really nice. Shows they have an appreciation for their fans, so that's cool. If you've checked that out or excited for season 7, hit us up, droidspod@gmail.com. Twitter @droidspod, Instagram @droidspod.
Too active on Facebook, we're on there.
You can get the feed on there.
You could Google us on Facebook.
Google us on Facebook.
I deleted my Facebook this week. For realsies.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. I thought you were going to say you deleted the Droids Facebook.
Maybe if I was the owner of it, yeah, I don't know how that works.
Take a stand. YouTube. Go on YouTube, search Droids You're Looking For podcast. You can find Ryan's awesome playthrough, some evergreen content, as they say, him playing through Jedi Fallen Order. Nailed it.
He may still be playing.
He could still be.
You never know. He might be. Maybe he's in the bottom of that Sarlacc pit. God willing, his PS4 fell down the hole with him.
He's gonna have to have a TV and the controller. Wouldn't that stink if he had everything else but just forgot the controllers?
The controller doesn't have a charge. He doesn't have a little cable. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and while I was out, you guys did some bang up episodes.
We tried to keep. Hey, we're the Motel 6 at the end of the galaxy. We keep the light on for you.
I like it. It feels good to be home. Feels nice and cozy to be here. Miss Mike and Ryan. We'll see them again soon.
You're back home. You're back home. We're home.
Wow.
Chewie. We're home.
Do you think that Harrison Ford? You could just have a clip of just like him breathing, and you would know it's him. He has a very distinctive breath.
Force ghost. I don't know what a force ghost is. Don't tell anyone. I'm not talking loud enough for your recorder. Oh. And I don't care. We'll have to mark the time code. We'll bleep that one.
It'll bleep, but it is a direct quote.
That's a direct quote from our Lord and Savior, Harrison Ford. Yeah. We're going to jump right in with that news. Yeah. Harrison Ford seems to be making the rounds. He's got a new Doggo movie out. Adapting Jack London's Call of the Wild, hitting theaters here soon. I'm assuming it's also hitting Disney Plus soon. Is that going to be like one of those bang bang releases, and at
is
home?
Is that a Disney film? I'm sure it is, right?
Is that a Disney film? I don't know. I assume. I know that it's a CGI dog.
Yeah.
I feel like Disney is kind of in the business of CGI dogs.
Do you want to hear a hilarious aside of that movie? the person, there was a person that was mimicking the dog's movements in like a green screen costume the whole movie. This is no joke. So Harrison Ford's like itching this guy's ears and petting his belly and stuff.
Oh boy.
So
oh,
there,
man.
So there you have it.
But honestly, I caught isn't up, that the dream?
That really, I caught up with him a little bit last week when I was getting the food ready for the Vanity Fair party. You guys had my role wrong. I was lead caterer.
Lead caterer, is that why everything that went out was light?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It said, hey, yeah. It looks like somebody already hey, got wait, into this wait, shrimp there's cocktail. Only a, there's yeah. only three pieces here.
There's only a half a Big Mac out here. Why are we eating a Big Mac? It was fun.
That's what a lot of Oscar winners do. They hit up the burger joints, you know. They like that. They like that Instagram post of being in a fancy suit or dress,
right?
Eating something incongruous.
Yeah. That
quote. That quote was from part of this interview. Sort of junket. Ford's been on for this movie. He was talking with USA Today. They were talking about Rise of Skywalker. Asked him. About whether Han was a Force ghost, what his insights were about returning. My hot take on this is that from now forward, Harrison Ford should be the only person involved with Star Wars allowed to do press appearances about Star Wars.
Yeah, he seems to be, he kind of satisfies that middle ground, I think. He's like, yeah, it's a movie. Oh, hey, this one was pretty cool.
Like, well, I feel like he also kind of in this interview and in his general persona kind of satisfies the like sadomasochistic like existence of Star Wars fans of like we want to be told we're nerds, we want to be losers.
The guy
who like made Han the coolest person in the galaxy is like also just massively throwing shade like I don't care. I don't know what you're into, and it's like, it feels good. It feels like dad is telling us all, like, I don't get what you kids like.
Yeah.
Whatever. Would you just get good grades?
I feel like it's going to get to the point where he's just going to deny he was in the movie at all.
Well, we got, there was the question, why was he in this movie? And then they put it to him. They said, hey, you reprised the role, came back for one more, episode 9. How'd that come to pass? And he spoke a little about it was pretty simple and straightforward. His quote here is, when JJ asked me to do it, I said, are you kidding? I'm dead. And he said, well, sort of dead, but you can do this. And nothing at the time was written, but he said, it's going to be great. So I said, okay, if JJ asks you to do something, you'd probably do it too. He's a very persuasive guy. It was a useful addition to the story and continuing the development of Adam Driver's character. Doesn't use the name Ben Solo. Calls him Adam Driver's character. I question whether or not he knows. And he said, and the chance to do another scene with Adam was great. So, once again, Harrison Ford sort of downplaying what I'm sure was some serious negotiation, a lot deeper conversation. Mm-hmm. I do think the guy's a real actor who cares about performance. But I love that he also gives a shout out to Adam Driver.
Yeah, he made it a generous thing. You missed the end of that quote though. It said Harrison said sitting on a pile of money.
Harrison said over the beeps of the dump truck backing into his driveway full
Harrison
of cash.
Harrison said Scrooge McDucking into a bucket of coins. If you would like to see any celebrity from Star Wars Scrooge McDucking into a bottle of coins. Hey, why not?
That'd be a tiny celebrity.
Boy. Ant-Man.
Yeah, I'd like to see Paul Rudd. First, I'd like to see Paul Rudd do a Star War, and then
he'd be
like
good.
To see him Scrooge
he'd
McDucking.
He'd be a good sidekick foil in a Star Wars movie, and then he'd like actually have the answer at the end.
I heard he was almost in it. He was actually originally cast as young Palpatine.
Oh, that's right.
Because he's ageless.
I forgot. It is true. Paul Rudd is actually a Palpatine.
There was a stretch that, I don't know, I had it and I lost it. Yeah. I didn't deliver.
Well, this is what happens in the Bouncy Boys. You bounce one direction and then you hit the roof and you bounce back down to the dirt, to that Sarlacc pit. Hi, Ryan. Oh boy!
What else did we say we're going to talk? Well, we've got we got some news as of this recording. We got this news today, I believe. Mm-hmm. We got some details on the home release of The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Tell me about that, Chris. So, what do you got?
Well, is it still out in theaters or out of theaters? I would imagine it's still in theaters.
I guess, look, the other thing we're going to talk about is box office. I feel like these two things go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
So right? Because I think, you know, we got this announcement. We got this announcement now about the home release.
We'll get it to them.
Maybe because it's not quite doing they hoped at the box office.
Right, yeah. But it's, what, $100 million behind where it's supposed to be tracking?
I don't know about tracking. What I know about is that it is currently, just domestically, it's more than $100 million behind The Last Jedi.
Wow.
Which was $300 million behind... Force Awakens at the end of its run.
I didn't realize that.
Like worldwide, when you factor in the foreign gross, we got Rise of Skywalker. It did crack a billion. It's 1.069 billion. But that is a full. Well, okay, let's go. That is like a little over 300 million behind The Last Jedi.
Wow.
So it's performing worse both domestically and overseas, and it is just shy of a billion behind The Force Awakens worldwide.
That's
worldwide. The Force Awakens in 2015 worldwide did $2.068 billion dollars, and this one's at $1.069. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, when you kind of throw those numbers out there, and not that I'm saying this is a justification for how studios act based on like profits and that kind of thing, but if you're $300 million less than what you thought you should be, I guess as a board member or somebody running the company, you'd probably be a little bummed out.
Well, I think the thing, I mean, I'd certainly be a little bit bummed out. I mean, it opened on more screens.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, first of all, this movie seems to have had less of a tail, although these movies do kind of run in theaters like forever, so we're not going to have the final numbers for a pretty long time. But I don't think they run so long that we're going to get another $300 million globally out of it in theaters. Yeah. And I think the big thing that this is, you know, everybody sort of, you know, the Last Jedi detractors, people who didn't like that movie, really pointed a finger and said, look how much less it made at the box office than The Force Awakens, because Last Jedi made $1.33 billion, so that's considerably less than the $2 billion mark, you know, that Force Awakens hit. But what everyone sort of on our side, the Last Jedi lovers, pointed to is, we said, yeah, these movies always work this way. There's the first one's the biggest, the second one's the lowest, and the third one hits somewhere in between, you know. It keeps the people, it brings the people back who want conclusions, it brings in some new folks, but then, you know, it still doesn't hit the heights of, like, we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different than something like, say, Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, where that's like an 18-movie culmination, and there's been a teased-out battle, and this is a little different.
I also wonder, how much money do they actually make on those? Look at everybody you had in them and how much, I'm almost like, were these just commercials?
Yeah, you might have to make 18 of those to break even at the end of the day.
But the telling thing is that I think everybody, no matter what side you came down on Last Jedi, figured that The Rise of Skywalker as the trilogy closer, as the saga closer, was probably going to make more than The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And when you look at the marketing campaigns, I mean, they seemed to think so too, and it doesn't look like it's going to.
Yeah. Well, the mob has spoken with their dollars.
So it'll be really interesting to see how this impacts what's going forward with Star Wars. I mean, I think this is the kind of first and maybe only indication that we have that would be an argument for
releasing the Chris Terry or the Colin Trevorrow.
The Trevorrow cut.
Yeah.
Release the Trevorrow cut. Yeah. Remake it. I heard if you play the movie backwards, it's actually the Trevorrow movie.
Oh,
they pulled it off visually.
I
can
see
too.
That. It starts with Rey talking to an old lady. I see it.
Which I guess we'll take this now that we're talking about this. Listeners, it's been a long time since we've had all four droids on a single pod, and we got a lot to cover when we do. We're going to go over the Trevorrow script. which we allegedly have read. Allegedly, we're going to talk about it. And then we're also, we still got to do our full final recap of Mandalorian. I mean, at this point, you know, people have probably watched through the series 3 and 4 times.
Yeah.
But don't worry. Your hottest takes, your best, your freshest, your hottest and freshest.
Do you want to hear something funny? And it might be a little spoiler filled to anybody that hasn't finished The Mandalorian. I won't throw the spoiler out. But I realized that I did not watch the last, like, 2 minutes of it.
What?
I don't know what happened.
What?
I queued it up on my TV, and I saw that it said, like, 2 minutes left or whatever. And then it was like, I'm like, oh, my God. I missed a very key part with...
You missed the appearance of a major artifact.
Yeah, exactly.
Christopher.
I remember you all talking about it. I remember you all mentioning it. I was like, yeah. And then I was thinking in my head, I was like, I don't remember seeing that. I must have just missed it. And then it's because I didn't watch it. So now I know.
If you are listening and you're a private detective, we're willing to hire you to find out what happened to Chris's missing
moment. I think it was my feed. I honestly think it was my feed. So... Mandalorian, will that come out on Blu-ray? Speaking of Blu-rays, Star
That's
Wars,
a good question.
The Rise of Skywalker will be coming out on Blu-ray. You've heard it here first. March 31st. It's a nice little cap to Q1. Get a little Star Wars Blu-ray or digital digital download on March 17th.
So you know, that'll be nice because I'm always... I'm always so tired on that day every year. I'm always so tired.
Well,
you know why?
It's after the Ides and what's that?
I just finished a march that lasted 31 days. That's for free, but the next one will cost you.
oh, boy. All right. Bouncing back there. So Rise of Skywalker DVD, surprisingly, no director commentary and no deleted scenes allegedly are not on the DVD. Or Blu-ray or digital cut. How do you refer to it? On the home video release. Which is interesting. I think maybe a little telling. Maybe this is all pure speculation and rumor milling. But probably given the production history of it, maybe it's very difficult to talk about.
I mean, what are they? What would they talk? Look at when you look at the special features we got. The Last Jedi has one of, I think, if you purchase The Last Jedi on home media... And I'm not talking about through your subscription to Disney Plus, which is an excellent service. I hope you have that too. If you're out there, if you're listening to this, you almost assuredly do at this point. But in addition, if you've purchased that film on any other form of home media, DVD, Blu-ray, iTunes, digital, whatever, you have quite possibly my favorite piece of Star Wars media ancillary to the films, which is The Director and the Jedi.
Yeah.
The documentary about the making of that film. And it is a deep dive into what the process of making a Star Wars is like, what the process of working with these living legend actors is like, what it's like to make a Rian Johnson movie, which I think if you're just a fan of film in general, is an interesting sit and listen and watch.
Very cool. Well, Sam, not to be forgotten, there is a bonus featurette, a slew of other bonus featurettes included on this DVD. Featuring The Skywalker Legacy, which I guess is a behind-the-scenes documentary charting the making of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So maybe it'll be a tell-all. Maybe we'll see the whole story there.
Disney likes usually has this unfettered
access.
Maybe
they'll just be like, hey, here you go. You want it? You got it. And then it's just like, everyone's awful. No, I'm just kidding.
We spent five years starting to make one movie and tell a story, and then we jettisoned it.
Regardless, it is always very interesting to see how these movies are made, because they are like, they do push it. And it is cool to see new, like, that one screen they were shown from The Mandalorian, how they kind of made, like, 3D sets and things like that. It's very, very cool. So I'm hoping to see a little more of the tech. I'm also, and probably up Ryan's alley, is the animatronic Maz Kanata. I'm sure that will have a nice little feature in that movie. I'm not sure. I'm guessing.
I mean, they have to have something because Lord knows they didn't talk about it at all in the lead up to the film.
And then we'll deep dive into the Pisana. How do you say it? Pisana?
You just want to take the New Jersey Turnpike out to Pisana.
Pisana Pursuit, creating the speeder chase. So we'll dive into the making of the movie's epic land speeder chase and discover how the spectacular sequence was brought to the screen. All right. So then they're just pulling that scene out from the Skywalker Legacy documentary. And then Aliens in the Desert. See what it took to create Pisana desert scenes from the sheer... Seems like the behind-the-scenes crew was on set during the desert stuff.
Yeah, really.
See what it took to create Pisana desert scenes from the sheer scale and complexity of the shoot to its colorful details. That's fun. Neat detail I saw was the Jawa cruiser they shot was actually a miniature, and they used a perspective shot, which I thought was kind of cool.
Hey, spoilers for the DVD specials, I assume.
Sorry. Dio, Key to the Past, explore the ship that connects Rey to the mystery of her missing parents and get to know the galaxy's newest irresistible droid.
Happy!
Seems a little bit of projection there. It's saying the newest irresistible droid. And then here's one that I'm very excited for, and I think it's very sweet. It's called Warwick and Son. Warwick Davis, who played Wicket in Star Wars Return of the Jedi. He's also in all the other Star Wars films. I think he is in all of them since Jedi. So he's probably the number two most appeared person aside from Mr. Anthony Daniels. is that a good impression?
Oh, I heard that was actually that was really good.
He dons the Ewok costume once more, but this time he's joined by his son. Guess what his son's name is? Harrison. Isn't that sweet?
Oh my gosh. He was a little boy with that name.
He was a little boy working with Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford.
So he named his son Carrison. That's amazing.
That should have been. Honestly, that should have been. That was the call there. Very
I don't
want to
make fun of that. That's not
very,
a joke.
Very, very, very sweet, Warwick. And cast of creatures, always fun to see the team behind the most memorable creatures reveal the puppetry, makeup, prosthetics, and digital magic that bring them to life. There's an exclamation point there. Digital exclusive, the Maestro's finale. This might be a sad one. Composer John Williams reflects on his body of work for the Star Wars saga and shares insight on scoring Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. So that's actually kind of cool, too. I'd like to see a little bit more of the music and his choices there. So those are the bonus features. Pretty standard fare, I think.
Yeah, I mean, here's the concerning thing, right? They clearly, like, we know that if there's these large, you know, Pisana features, we know that they had, Pisana features. that's a pod Pisana. Original pronunciation. That's an East Coasters pronunciation. Yeah. But
there's no water. We know there's no water on Pisana.
Hey, get them Skechers out the tent here in Pisana. All right. If you're gonna go down, you're gonna bring back some bottled water for the, everybody's thirsty from this Burning Man we're at. Don't bring your dusty shoes in here. But if we know that movies of this scope and scale and size have documentary crews, they have photographers on set, and I mean this one. You saw how much coverage there was during the making of The Last Jedi and how much access they had. You know that this film had that going on. And it's very telling that at the time of the home release, they have not put something at all similar together. I mean, what that says to me is that there were a lot of things changing throughout the process. There were maybe times where they kind of said, hey, we can't have the crew have access to, like, the documentary crew, you know, the mm-hmm. the making of crew have access to this today. We're trying to figure stuff out, you know, and it speaks to the sort of troubled production that we've already got more than enough, you know, evidence of based on the film we got. But it, you know, it's a bummer because when you look at, you know, when you look at The Force Awakens, when you look at the making of that film, when you look at the excitement and all the features we got about that, and when you carry that through to The Last Jedi, I mean, it feels like a missed moment. It feels like a missed opportunity. This mm-hmm. cast has been so incredible.
Yeah.
The designers and the teams that have brought everything back with Star Wars, you know, so successfully over the last, you know, since 2012, I guess, was the acquisition. But, you know, it feels like it feels like a tacit acknowledgement that this mm-hmm. was not the way to go out. It feels like, hey, we're not going to put more out about this.
Yeah, I think they're really trying to wrap this thing up, I think, as soon as they can and kind of move on with some of their more exciting things like Baby Yoda.
You know, it reminds me of the frustration I have every time I pop in the Blu-ray to Quantum of Solace.
Sure.
I've got to get that reference in here.
Yep, there you go. Or maybe a Batman Forever or Batman.
Yeah, look, if I want to go in, I can't. There's not as much content about Batman and Robin, Joel Schumacher's, pièce de triomphe.
Also, if you're looking for the John Williams thing, you have to have the digital version of the film. It has an exclusive feature.
I mean, everybody's going to get the digital one.
I might get the Blu-ray. No, I won't get the Blu-ray. So you can only buy the 3D versions of these films in the UK now, but they have made them region free. I think they're legit.
Know that because you own one that I'm sure you've watched countless times. So
I can only watch The Last Jedi in 3D all the time. But if you go on Amazon and you search for it, they do work, so I don't know the legitimacy. But I was bummed I didn't get to see The Rise of Skywalker in 3D in theaters. If you have a 3D theater and you're playing it, please let us know. droidspod@gmail.com.
It's gotta still be out in 3D right now.
You think?
But I mean, I'm probably not interested in going with you.
but that's movie aside. I think the
right. Oh yeah, that has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. The box art's kind of cool. It's got an X-wing staring down a fleet of Star Destroyers that Palpatine just generated from midair. So that'll be out. No word on when it comes out on Disney Plus. This will be like kind of the first big release, I think, on Disney Plus. So I'm interested to see what they do, if there's some kind of hubbubaloo surrounding that.
Well, I am really curious, right? I mean, so I do think, I mean, I have to imagine that the Blu-ray, DVD, and other digital sales of this movie are going to be, far lower than anything. I mean, this is like, this is going to be the first big tentpole movie to come out first on Disney Plus, right? I mean, I'm sure there have been other releases. I guess we could get a barometer with like Frozen 2.
Oh, yeah.
Is hitting the platform now or soon.
Oh, really?
And so I think we could might get a sense of how this does, because my suspicion would be that, Disney is backing the play that suggests like, hey, we want subscribers. We want your $6 a month rather than your $24.99 once.
Right.
Right. Or if you buy it digitally, you're $19.99 on launch day, right? They usually come out at that price point. So we're all already paying for this movie if you're subscribed to Disney Plus, but like I am certain, like I'm not going to buy this movie for iTunes. iTunes is my platform of choice for digital movies, across the board. And I have every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe on iTunes.
I thought you were just going to say I have every movie on iTunes.
No, I have like...
You have a lot.
I have frivoled away many a paycheck. And when you think about how infrequently you watch movies, it becomes quickly depressing. And the fact that they're not real, there's no actual... Yeah. I've spent money on nothing tangible. I have nothing to show for what I have spent my hard-earned money on. But I do have over 300 movies in iTunes.
Wow.
Humble brag. And, I'm not going to buy this. First of all, because the movie was underwhelming. But even as a completionist, maybe if it were a little less underwhelming, I'd consider it. But then it's like, well, wait, I'm already paying for it. I'm already getting it on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Well, probably where I'm going to watch it anyway.
Take a picture of the Colin Trevorrow script and somehow get that loaded into your iTunes, and then you'll
allegedly,
and then you'll have them all lined up, and then you'll just have the script.
Line up my imaginary purchases on my digital shelf.
Wow, we've really reached the future. There we are, bouncing back to it. I think it was kind of a slower Star Wars week. I think we're going to see that for a little bit until some of the newer content comes out. But next week we'll have...
Next week.
Yeah. Next week we're going to have...
Great transition, Chris.
Yeah.
It'll be ages before we have anything new to talk about.
An eon. pretty excited for these. I admittedly not caught up on Clone Wars, but I think I might just dabble in and out without having seen them all. It doesn't really bother me too much, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to watch no matter where I get. I am pretty deep currently into season 4. There is a world. I have a pretty open weekend. There's a world in which I could really blow through a lot of these. But the truth
that's
is,
some work. Yeah.
The latest, like getting into season 4, like halfway through season 3 and all of season 4 that I've been through is like better. Like I used to put this show on. I watched probably the first 2 seasons a little bit more in the background. I would throw it on when I was folding laundry or when I had, you know, some other, you know, kind of menial task to do, but I wanted some entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, this is like my favorite show to put on, and I want to be fully attentive. And so it is.
Have been really wrinkly recently.
My shirts are a mess. Laundry's everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the shirts that look okay, I'm sweating through them because I'm loving that high drama.
Yeah.
Right. But it's such a good show that I think I'm just gonna enjoy it, and I'll probably watch kind of in parallel. I'll watch episodes of season 4.
Yeah.
Or 5, I'm at. I mean, alongside,
we know how it ends. Is it going to be? It's a weekly episodic series. Is it just 12 of them? Do we think, or 8, or?
I should know this. I believe, have talked about it on the pod. When you said 12, that stuck in my mind. You're gonna hear my typing as I look this up. Twelve.
12. Okay, great. Well, that's a manageable number. That's great. And there was something on Netflix that was like the lost episodes, but I'm assuming they've kind of wrapped that up into one of the seasons. That's probably just season 6, I guess.
The lost episodes.
I remember there's something being.
Oh boy, you're not talking about the movie that launched.
The Lost Missions. That's the 6th season. Okay, so there's been these two kind of amendment seasons. The Lost Missions was essentially season 6. So that was that 13 episode thing. So they have had these like little mini sagas. So this might not be it for Clone Wars as we know it. There could be and I wouldn't mind seeing a little Rebels Lost Missions kind of follow up. So I'm looking forward to that. The droids will have all that is good on that. That comes out this Friday. So I'm sure, let us know how you watch it. Do you watch it the morning of when it comes out, the night? Do you wait for a bunch of them to pile up and then you watch them?
Are we going to go back to our like morning? I guess I watched them I watched them weekly in the mornings with Mando. Yeah. I got up at 6 a.m. I got up at 6 a.m. every Friday. Yeah. And now I'm just getting up at 6 a.m. every day of the week.
Well, there you go. See, that's what Star Wars does.
It's a, what a great positive externality of like the worst part of
the week,
my sort of life for a little while, which was getting up at 6, and now I'm like, I kind of dig it. I'm a morning person.
WWMD. What would Mando do?
WMDs.
Hey. Oh, wait. Oh, no. That's not what I meant to say at all. All right. Well, this thing is blowed up. hey, I think that'll do it. If you want to follow us again at DroidsPod. On Instagram and Twitter, droidspod@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we should watch all of the let us know if we should watch all the Mandalorian. Let us know if we should watch all of Clone Wars before we go into this new season. YouTube,
honestly,
look up Ryan. You could also get the episodes on YouTube. Do you know that? Of the podcast.
That is, I did know that because you told me and you rigged that up through some technical wizardry. Mm-hmm. Wizardry, space wizardry.
It was very wizard.
That's so wizard, Annie. I think the last thing, you know, we haven't been as consistent lately in asking, but if you are listening, it would truly mean a lot if you did take a few minutes and write a quick review on iTunes. That's kind of the biggest and broadest platform. You know, what that does for us is it just helps us rank a little higher, and that'll attract more listeners. The whole point of doing this is we love to be a part of the Star Wars conversation. We love having basically an endless Star Wars conversation is what my phone what my phone is for now.
It's a Star Wars communicator.
And so, you know, as a part of that, we would love to, you know, broaden our audience further. This is kind of a labor of love, but we're just in it for the conversation. And so if you guys listening can shoot a review, it will help us rank a little higher, attract new listeners, and it'll build that community. And then you'll also have more people to talk to, hopefully, to engage in the conversations we're having. And we can all be a part of it. We can all, there's, if we do that, if you do that, there's hope.
There you go. Wow. Can't say it any better than that, Sam.
Oh, I believe you could.
There you go. Well, yes, please do that. Give us a review on iTunes. Stitcher, iTunes preferred, like Sam says, the broadest platform. Rate, review, anything would be great. If you don't like it, put a little thing down there. Just kidding.
If you have a second phone, or if you have access to another person's phone, subscribe them.
Grab a relative's phone. You know. Well, now it sounds like we're doing a PBS pledge drive. So with that, that'll do it. For the droid you're looking for, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw? Annie?
You boys want to go in medieval time?
Anthony 3PO. I mean, Anthony Daniels.
I don't know. The dog was CGI. I don't care.
I'm itching some guy's ears.
Boring conversation anyway.